If you have a need, plant a seed.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about Scripture's proven prescription for dealing with difficulties.
The Bible calls it sowing and reaping. If you haven't planted anything, why are you looking for produce?
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. As we try to find our way through life, sometimes it feels like we're doing it in the dark. But Dr. Evans says when that happens, we just might stumble over hidden treasure God wants us to discover. Let's join him as he talks about a biblical concept that can kickstart that process.
Perhaps you remember the story of the gentleman who was deeply concerned about his friend who was an alcoholic. His friend had a major drinking problem. And he was concerned for the life and well-being of his friend, that he would drink himself to death. And so he knew he needed to do something to get his friend to stop drinking. And so he went to where his friend hung out in the bar to try to make the point that his friend had to come to grips with this drinking problem. So he took out two liquor glasses and he put one filled with the strongest alcoholic beverage he could come across, and the other liquor glass with water. He took out a canister that had two worms in it. One worm he dropped in the glass full of liquor, and the other worm he dropped in the glass full of water. And in just a few moments, the worm that had been dropped in the glass full of liquor died. But the worm dropped in the glass full of water was still moving and swimming around. The one in the liquor died quickly. The one in the water was still very much alive. He looked at his alcoholic friend. He said, "Now, do you see this?" His friend said, "I see it clearly." He said, "Do you get the point?" He says, "I think I get the point." He said, "What's the point?" He said, "I think the point is clear. If you drink a lot of booze, you won't have a lot of worms." And it's obvious he didn't get the point. He saw it and heard it, but he didn't get it. And that leads us to one verse I want to share with you today. And that is Luke 6:38. I want to dive a little deeper in this most strategic principle. Luke 6:38. I'm going to read it twice. It says, "Give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return." Again, "Give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, for by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return." You can only give something if you have it. If you don't have it, you can't give it because it's not yours to give if you don't have it, whatever it happens to be. Which brings me to a foundational understanding that we've said many times, which is key to everything I'm getting ready to say, and that is you only have one source. That one source is God. You have many resources or channels through which God can get you whatever he wants to get you, but he is your only source. See, once you make something other than God your source, you got to look to that thing. Depend on that thing. Bank on that thing. Count on that thing. And maybe even bow to that thing. But if that thing was never your source, it can't own you. Because you were never looking to it as your ultimate solution in the first place. The grocery store that you eat your food out of or get your food from is not your source. It is merely a channel through which you can get something. They don't grow the food in the store. It's not your source. It's just a a vehicle to transfer it from where it came from so it can get to you. So if one grocery store closes down, you can go to another grocery store because that grocery store wasn't the source in the first place. It was merely a transfer vehicle. Your job is not your source. Your job is important, but it's merely a channel through which to work in order to receive income, in order to live and pay your bills, but it's not your source. See, if your job is your source, when you lose your job, you lose your life. But if it was never your source in the first place, see, the beautiful thing about having God as your only source is only God can own you. See, that means nobody else can own you. Nobody else can be the ultimate absolute control over you because it was never your source in the first place. So let's understand now, you only have one source. And that's why God calls us to fully depend on him as our source, because he can switch resources on a dime. He says, give and it, say it. Give and it will be given to you. So let me tell you about the theology of it. When God created way back in the book of Genesis, here's what God said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 12. He says this, the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them. After their kind, and God saw that it was good. So here's how this works. What God created had a seed built in it. The seed matched whatever it was the seed of. So apples have seeds, pears have seeds, watermelon has seeds. They have built into them the reproduction of them. So what God did when he created all of these different fruits and vegetables is he planted in them their future. They could be replicated after their kind. You cannot plant an orange seed and get apples. You can't plant a pear seed and get watermelons because it's not after its kind. So whatever it is that you plant, that it is what you receive. Because it's after its kind, after their same kind. So the way God, watch this, created life to work was the thing you wanted to reproduce, you had to use the seed that was embedded in it. It says the seed was in it. So you would take the seed from what you had in order to replicate it. What was a principle of creation, Luke 6:38 broadens to say it's a principle of life. Give and it. It refers to the thing you gave. Give and it. Whatever the it is, give it. Because God responds to the faith that gave whatever the it is needed. Let's put it another way. If you have a need, make sure you sow a seed. Okay? If you have a need, whatever it is, we'll talk about some of them in a moment. But if you have a need, don't just have the need and don't just ask God to meet the need without making sure you plant the seed. People all over call on God to meet a need when they are not willing to plant a seed. And then wonder why the need has not been met. So the question is not, God, this is my need. That's half the question. Because the other half of the question is God's. Where is your seed? What have you planted to demonstrate your faith in me to give me something to cultivate? Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's preparing them for the church age. And he says, they will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. Now that's what the text says. Okay? He's thinking about agriculture now. He's thinking about grain. If you went to the store, I'll use our current terminology, store, in New Testament days, and you said, I want a measure of grain, whatever the type of grain is you wanted to cook, or rice, or whatever, and you gave an amount, that's called the measure. Like you have measuring cups at home. That's the measure that you want. So measures come in different sizes. So you say, I want a measure of rice. Let's just say rice. So you order it. What they would do is put it in the measuring pot that was commensurate with the amount you wanted. So they would pour the rice in. And then they would shake it. Shake it. The person selling you the rice is shaking it. Now, the reason he shakes it is because he puts in New Testament day, they put in 3/4 of what you ordered. So you ordered a certain amount, they would then put in 3/4 of that amount. They wouldn't fill it up yet, they just put in 3/4. And then they would shake it. Now, the reason they shook it is to fill in the gaps. They wanted to fill in the gaps. And the reason they wanted to fill in the gaps was to make sure all the spaces had been filled in. That there was no space. Creating room for more rice. So they would shake it to fill it in, creating more room for more rice. So shaking together. The verse then says, press down. The person selling the grain would take his two hands and put it on top of the rice to flatten it. What does that do? Create more room for more rice. So first it's shaken together to fill in the space. Then it's pressed down to give you more space. Because what he just gave you was room for more. So that now he ends it with, it's running over. It's running over. Why? Because you've created more space to have more rice. They pour the more rice till it fills the top. When it fills the top in a cone shape, it then flows overboard. God says when you plant a seed and he uses they to meet a need based on the it that you gave, he does it in such a way he creates room for more. When you plant for one corn stalk, you don't get one ear of corn. You get multiple ears of corn when that thing has fully expressed itself. But this comes because of a faith seed planted in whatever the it is that you're looking for. So whatever the it is that you legitimately, spiritually want from God. I had a member in the first service come to me after service. This was a great statement. She says, I have an it. I have an it, something I want from God. How do I get the it? I said, well, what's the it? She says, my it is to get closer to him. And I'm struggling with getting closer. That's an interesting it. Because usually when folk talk about it, they talk about stuff. Okay? And that's not necessarily wrong, but I'm just saying, she said, I need to get closer to God. But I'm struggling with that. That's my it. And I ask God to make me closer to him, but I don't feel I'm getting there. How do I get my it met? I told her, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to help somebody else get closer to God. The it you're wanting for you, give to somebody else. Help somebody else get closer to God, and let's see the they God brings along to help you get closer to him. Whatever the it is that's legitimate, he says, give and it, the thing you gave, will be returned by the they to you, shaken down, pressed together, running over, there will be room for more. I don't know about you, but this excites me. This excites me, one, because it's spiritually based. I'm not just doing it for stuff's sake. I'm tying it to my relationship. But at the same time, it deals with a principle of why we're not seeing more of God on every level of our lives. We want a need without a seed. And God hasn't built creation to work that way. So everybody wants to be blessed. They don't want any more walk with God, commitment to God, relationship with God. They don't want to give more to God, serve more to God, but they want their needs, man. They want the it. And they want it pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Quoting this verse is one thing. Operating is totally different.
Dr. Evans will unpack this important principle for us when he returns in just a moment. Stay with us.
Living a life of blah. You know, that life where the struggle is your daily reality. Relationships are strained and addiction has you to just going through the motions. Change it. Dr. Evans' 5-CD series, Treasures in the Darkness, shows you how to get back to living with strength and satisfaction. Also included is Dr. Evans' popular booklet, 30 Days to Overcoming Addictive Behavior. Let Tony get personal with you as he guides you toward the life you always hope for. Get both at TonyEvans.org.
Addictions come in all forms: overindulging, overspending, overworking, and more. The harder you try to beat them, the more trapped you feel. But what if in the next month you could break free and put that habit behind you? Well, you can with the help of 30 Days to Overcoming Addictive Behavior, Tony's popular book that takes you day by day through the tools and principles you need to embrace healing and find liberation. Best of all, for a limited time, we're packaging this resource along with all 5 lessons in Tony's current series, Treasures in the Darkness, a powerful look at the biblical principles that can help you navigate through even the bleakest times. You'll get the book, CDs, and instant downloads of the full-length messages from this series, including material we won't have time to share on the air when you make a donation. It's our way of saying thanks for making this ministry possible through your faithful support. Visit us at TonyEvans.org today to get all the details and make the arrangements. Or call 1-800-800-3222, where members of our resource team are on hand day and night to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. I'll have that contact information for you again later on. But right now, here's Dr. Evans with more of today's lesson.
And then he brings the point home. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Here it is. If you want the need, plant the seed. If you want the need, plant the seed. If the need is legitimate, plant the seed. Let me quote you a verse, because everybody loves this verse. It's Philippians 4:19. My God shall meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Everybody loves that. My God shall meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's a promise God's going to meet your need. That's a great promise. Everybody loves Philippians 4:19 who have not read Philippians 4:17 and 18. All my needs, according to his riches and glory. However, if you read the 2 previous verses, Paul says, because you met my need, my God shall supply your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. In other words, because you planted a seed in me, God's going to turn that thing around and meet a need that you have. If you have a need, plant a seed. That is the way agriculture works. The Bible calls it sowing and reaping. You don't reap if you haven't sown. If you haven't planted anything, why are you looking for produce? God told Israel in Deuteronomy 24:19, he told the farmers, he says, leave the edges of your field alone. Don't take the sheaves from the edges of your field. Leave those for the poor, for the orphan, for the alien, and for the widow. And then in verse 19, he tells them why. He says, because when you have left it for them, the Lord will bless you. And that, brothers and sisters, is the definition of a blessing. A blessing is not what God does to you. It is also what God knows he's free to do through you. God told Abraham, I am going to bless you. And then he says, and through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So here's the secret. This is why the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. The reason why it says it's more blessed to give than to receive is because when God knows he can flow through, he doesn't mind flowing to. But the moment he knows it's only about you and it's going to stop with you and it's just going to flow to you and nothing will go through you, he gets uninterested in continuing to flow to when he knows he can't flow through. And that's why when you go for God, for him to do something in your life, tell him if he does it, how you will use it to be a blessing. Because now you have piqued his interest, because he knows you're going to be a blessing and not just want to hang out to be blessed. If you have a need, plant a seed so that God can do something for your life. No bank pays interest unless it's something deposited. You can't say, what's my interest? And there's nothing in the bank. You know, we have on our campus, we have some vending machines. We have some vending machines. So you can go to certain places, a few places on our campus, and buy some potato chips, for example. Now, the chips are in this glass, and they're available for purchase. Now, they don't just drop down. They don't just drop. You don't just push the button, and they just drop. You got to plant a financial seed. You got to put some money in the vending machine because you need some potato chips. So you press the button, whatever the number is, to get your chips. The chips fall down. You planted a seed because you had a need for potato chips. But there's an issue. The bag is half full. You have that when you buy chips? The bag is half full. You put in your need. You paid the price. And it's half chips, half air. They sold you a bill of goods or half a bag of chips. You talk about that ain't all that, but nothing but a bag of chips. It ain't even that. It's a half bag of chips, half bag of air. They duped you, causing you to pay a price for something that's not pressed down, shaken together, or running over. God says, and yes, he does say in Mark 10, it does come with persecution. It's not all just one big blessing and there's no trouble. That's a false premise of prosperity as well. But there is a legitimate side. And that is the unique way God can use the they's that you never heard of, people you never met, situations you never thought about, to bring them around. But he's looking for the seed. He's not just listening for the need. Now, I know that this message has disturbed some of you. Because what you heard was, come so God can meet your need. You wasn't into this, I got to have a seed. I ain't interested in the seed. Let's just preach to me, preacher, about the need. But then I wouldn't be telling you the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. The whole chapter on this in 2 Corinthians 9, whole chapter on sowing and reaping and all of this is in the New Testament. But the Bible has a verse for you who are struggling with this sermon. And the verse is Psalm 126, verse 6, because it says, those who sow in tears, because I know some of you are crying right now. Those who sow in tears, I'm scared. I don't want to love this person. I don't want to forgive this person. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I don't do, but because this is the principle, I'm going to sow while I'm crying. He says, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. You may be sad on the front end, but you're going to be glad on the back end. You may be sad right now, but if you take the principle and use it, he says you will be glad with the result. So even if you have to sow crying, plant the seed so God can meet the need. And so you and I can stop piggybacking off of somebody else's testimony and have our own. About the need God met and the unique way he chose to meet it, because I, in faith, planted the seed in good soil so it produced more than I ever expected. I'll repeat this. I've used it before, but it's so pertinent now in closing. A man was lost in a desert, over 120 degree heat. He was emaciated, dying of thirst. Didn't know if he could make it. And then he saw in the distance a little shack. He went to the shack, and there was a pump over a hole for a well. Oh, how fortunate can this be? I'm dying of thirst, and here's a well. Above on a little platform was a glass of water. A sign underneath the glass said, use the water to prime the pump so that the pump can give you ongoing water. And when you are finished, fill the glass with water for the next person who comes this way. That was the instruction. But the man was on the horns of a dilemma. Because what if I pour this water into this well to prime the pump and the pump doesn't prime? Now I have no water. At least if I drink the glass, I got a glass of water that will hold me for a while. So he had to take the risk of taking this one glass of water and using it for a moment, or following the instructions of the word that had been written and use it to prime the pump for more water than he could ever drink if it worked. So he's on the horns of a dilemma. Does he satisfy himself with what he can see, or does he take the risk for what he cannot see and does not know will work? He decided to do a faith act. He took the water that he could have drunk and then sustained for a short period of time and poured it in to prime the pump. And as he primed the pump, water began to gush and gush. So not only did he get to drink to his full, every empty container in the house he filled with water. He filled with water. And he had water for as long as it took him to be rescued. And then he filled the glass so that the next person who came that way could have the same opportunity.
Dr. Tony Evans, with a simple yet powerful illustration from his current teaching series, Treasures in the Darkness. Remember, this entire collection of lessons is available as our gift when you make a contribution to help support The Alternative. Right along with it, you'll receive the short book I told you about earlier, 30 Days to Overcoming Addictive Behavior. This special double offer runs out next week, so be sure to get yours right away by giving us a call day or night at 1-800-800-3222. Our resource team members are waiting to assist with your request, or you can simply visit tonyevans.org to get the details, make the arrangements, and instantly download the audio files. And while you're there, be sure to check out the link on the homepage that simply says Jesus. There, Tony has a quick video that explains what it means to put your trust in the only one who can rescue you from the darkness in this world and give you an eternal future in heaven. Again, that's tonyevans.org. I hope you'll take advantage of that today. Most of us have experienced a sleepless night where it seems like morning will just never arrive. Periods of our life can be like that, too. But next week, Dr. Evans says we can find treasure even in the darkest times. Right now, though, he's back with this important thought about today's lesson.
You now have the principle. And you can go and just make it a day at a time and do the best you can. Or you can believe what God says about the it. Give and it will be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, for by the same measure you use, it will be measured to you in return.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.